Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Hello, everyone, and welcome. Sadly, I am still on maternity leave, but don't worry, we are not going to leave you with nothing. We're going to take a look back at some of our best Candace Show moments from seasons 1 and 2. And in this episode, we are revisiting my interview with Kyle Rittenhouse. You guys will remember Kyle Rittenhouse. That was the trial that seized America, a young teenager really fighting for his life. And there was a lot riding on this, and he was at long last declared not guilty. Being able to sit down with Kyle and to just allow him to speak and humanize himself despite all of the rhetoric, being called a white supremacist, despite the fact that he had only killed white people and it truly was in self-defense, his experience with the media, and what his life has been since the verdict. Is he gonna sue anybody? These were questions that were on everybody's minds, and I got the answers. Take a listen. The Kyle Rittenhouse trial completely gripped the nation. In August of 2020, violent protests broke out in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in the wake of the non-fatal police shooting of Jacob Blake. Rittenhouse, who was 17 at the time, joined a group of men to protect the community and local businesses from being destroyed. Acting in self-defense, Rittenhouse killed 2 people and wounded a third after being violently attacked. Now, of course, the mainstream media and even our own sitting president smeared his name, calling him a white supremacist and a violent vigilante. After one of the most highly publicized trials in our country's history, justice was served and Kyle was acquitted of all charges. Today, he is a free man and he is here to tell his story in person. Please help me welcome Kyle Rittenhouse. So excited.
Oh, yeah.
So excited to have you. Obviously, your entire story gripped the nation, gripped me. I was just like live watching this stuff and just so fired up. I think because something that I've noticed just tends to be a thing that happens in America is during election time, they kind of find one case, the media, and they just kind of get their talons in it. And they're never honest about that case. And it's just kind of to make people very emotional about certain topics that seem to feed political narratives of the day. This one particularly rubbed me the wrong way because you were a minor. You were 17 years old. Before we get into the case, I want to talk about who you are as a person. Like, who was Kyle Rittenhouse before he was the Kyle Rittenhouse of America?
Well, before this happened, who I was I was just a normal 17-year-old kid. I would go hang out with friends. I would go hang out at car meets. I'd go to the beach. I was just a goofy, regular kid who just like wanted to help people. I was a lifeguard, I was a swim instructor, and I was a firefighter, EMT cadet, and a police explorer. So I just wanted to help people before this, and I still want to help people. And that's just who I was. That's who I was as a person.
Right, and it must be just, I have to imagine you have some PTSD because it's like you're just a normal kid living his life and you know, suddenly you're going to help people in a place that your father lives, just making sure businesses aren't getting destroyed when, for whatever reason, the media narrative was you can loot and destroy any place you want in the wake of a Black Lives Matter protest. Tell me what it was like the moment after the night took place. What were your first instincts after, you know, you realized that this was going to be a case, that somebody was dead? Even running for your life, there's so much to process in that moment.
Well, it's been hard. Definitely have had some nightmares waking up at night with cold sweats. But I didn't realize how big the case actually was until like a few months later because I wasn't focused on that. I was just like, why is this happening? I defended myself and I was there to help people. And then I noticed all these false media narratives coming out, calling me a white supremacist, a vigilante, and those just aren't true.
How bizarre to be called a white supremacist when no black people were harmed or killed on this night. Like, how bizarre that was what they went with.
It's absolutely crazy because this case had nothing to do with race. It had to do with the right to self-defense. And I just don't know where that narrative came from.
I mean, they had nothing. And there was just, they just said, this person is white, therefore he is a white supremacist. And it's got to be weird. What was the community response? Because obviously you go home, you have friends, you know, you've grown up with these people, they know who you are. Did they rally behind you or do they sort of go, no, this narrative is right. This kid's a horrible person.
I didn't lose any friends over this because they know who I am as a person. They know I'm not a racist person.
And I love to hear that your friends just stayed by your side throughout this entire process.
And I just didn't lose any friends, and they continued to support me because they knew the facts and they knew who I was as a person, as a human.
Wow, that's really incredible. I gotta give a round of applause just for your friends. Because it's a different level of things when somebody is campaigning for president, you know, wins and becomes the president, and outwardly says something that he knows to be false, right? He calls you a white supremacist absent any facts because, hey, it's the narrative of the day, I'm running for president and everything's about race, so let's create race where there actually is no element of race in the story. Let's create it anyways. Did you see that campaign ad?
I did.
You saw it live.
I didn't see it live. I saw it a couple weeks later. But it's just completely false, and he was wrong.
He was wrong.
And a lot of people were like, oh, Kyle would have voted for Joe Biden, which is wrong. I would never have voted for Joe Biden.
What were, if any, because sometimes you're 17, you don't really care about politics, did you have any political perspectives? Obviously, you were pro-2A, you believed in self-defense. Any other political perspectives that you held previously?
I was 17. I couldn't vote, but if I could have, I wouldn't have voted for Joe Biden. I would have voted for Trump because Trump was right. He supported me from the beginning, and he helped tell the truth of what happened.
Right. To me, I remember when they read the verdict, and I was, you know, obviously very happy with the verdict, and I was just so angry at the people like LeBron James who were kind of feeding this narrative that wasn't true. The amount of people that had so much power and influence who were watching the trial, presumably because they were responding live to the trial, and yet still lied. I mean, the trial, it could not have been clearer what happened. They showed things in slow-mo. You know, they talked about who these people were. I mean, the pedophiles that were killed that night, people, how anyone could believe that these people were out because they cared about black rights is beyond me. Obviously, you have a bunch of criminals that know that no matter what, when there's a Black Lives Matter night or a Black Lives Matter riot, you can get away with committing crimes and you're probably not going to get in trouble. And yet, despite seeing all of this on TV, you had this reaction. To me, it didn't feel like justice completely. I feel like that's justice part A. You know, Kyle is found not guilty. Common sense, right? Is there a justice part B here? Are you going to allow all of these celebrities to have gotten away with that?
There's going to be some accountability, Candace. There's going to be some accountability.
As there should be. Can you tell us what you have in the works, in particular who you're looking at? I mean, has anybody offered an apology? Has there been anybody who said, you know what? Actually, after seeing the footage, I got this wrong. Because that's always commendable. If you believed the media narrative and then saw it live and corrected it. But it seemed like there was a double down, triple down, quadruple down on the lies.
Mm-hmm. There were a couple people that came out and apologized and said, hey, I saw the trial. I was wrong.
Who?
I'm trying to think of their names. I don't have it at the top of my top of my mind. But
tip of your tongue, top of your mind.
Same.
But so some people actually did. They did the 180 after seeing the truth.
Seeing the facts and the truth of what happened.
Okay.
And the machine, the media, the government, the prosecutors, they lied and they tried to put me in prison for life. But they were wrong and they weren't able to do that. And I'm going to use this to better myself as a person because I deserve any rights that anybody else does. And I believe that the machine needs to be wrong again, and we're going to be right.
Right. Has the machine has there been any response to the machine? Did they just drop it entirely? How have they tried to tidy this? Because they were so aggressive and on top of it, and obviously in pursuit of mob justice, which is what they were after. Like, oh, we've made such a big deal out of it. They just have to put him in prison anyways because we've seized this narrative, and it's ours. did they just sort of slowly back away, or did they kind of still say, oh, this is just an example of injustice?
Quite a bit of people continue to hammer down on that narrative. A couple media organizations, I wouldn't call them media.
Yeah, propagandists.
Propagandists.
Organizations, yeah.
Exactly. A couple people like that have been doing a couple of shows like, oh, this is injustice, and they didn't pay attention to the facts, and they're still getting all this stuff wrong.
Right, interesting. And are you going to, you're going to go after those individuals and organizations?
Accountability's coming.
I love it. I just love to hear it so much because... I think that's the portion that so many Americans, like myself, are looking forward to, because, like I said, it's so much deeper when they're willing to do this to a child, like that there is no limit, that they're willing to ruin somebody's entire life. And there still are residual effects because people didn't watch the trial. And you've got peers that did not watch the trial, just about to start college. This will follow you for the rest of your life. The defamatory elements of this will follow you for the rest of your life. What has been proven time and time again is that even in the face of overwhelming evidence, when a lie is repeated enough time, people just are brainwashed and still hold on to it. They don't know how to see the truth and assess that. And this has been true. You were going to enroll in a course at the Arizona State University, is that correct?
I'm actually back at Arizona State University.
Oh, wow.
Holding classes now, taking classes in March starting online. So I was able to re-enroll.
So take us through the story. So first you had enrolled in classes at Arizona State University, and what happened?
There were protests, and I was given they gave me a compassionate withdrawal and then said I wasn't enrolled, but I'm now enrolled. Again, for a second time.
How did that happen?
Well,
something had to have happened in between, from compassionate withdrawal to now you're re-enrolled.
I had to talk to a couple people, like directors there, and be like, "Hey, look, I deserve an education."
And that's great.
I'm able to get that education and hopefully pursue a career in law.
Oh, I hope so. So you're still seeing those elements of mob justice, because there's no reason, obviously, you have been found not guilty on all counts. The evidence, anybody can go see it for themselves. That was a trial that was played live, and yet you're still seeing these people that just go, well, then he can't go to school. He's not allowed to have a life anymore, that's got to be quite telling about your generation and sort of what's happening in this age of what appears to be so much information, but it's majority false information, bad information.
People just aren't willing to go back and look at the facts and admit they're wrong.
Right, right. Especially something like this, you would think that they would want to, because it deals with or dealt with a minor. You were a minor at the time. So what is happening now? Because there are some other residual trials that are taking place. Is that right? You're a defendant once again for something ridiculous. Is that correct?
I am, but I don't want to talk about any... Okay. Pending litigation against me.
Makes sense. I will just say on the record, I'll talk about it, and I think it's absolute BS what is happening in the background. So, you have been censored on social media. Is that correct?
I have experienced a little bit of censorship. You can't type my name in and find me my profiles on Instagram or Twitter, which is really hard to find.
Well, I mean, I don't understand how that could be possible. You were a household name. I mean, shouldn't you have a blue check mark? I mean, shouldn't you be a verified Kyle Rittenhouse in that regard? But Facebook and Twitter, they're kind of censoring Kyle Rittenhouse because they, by the way, took a very strong stance early on in the trial. They were taking down any posts that were in support of you. Mm-hmm. We've seen this. GoFundMes, which is interesting. Before there is any sort of resolution, they're taking down people's ability to raise money to support. So this really shows you that the ecosystem is corrupt, and they haven't gone back and attempted to correct anything.
Mm-hmm. Like they sort of slid it under the rug.
Right, right. Absolutely. I want to talk about Judge Schroeder, because he kind of became a little bit of a celebrity in and of himself.
Don't keep raising with me.
How blessed were you to have him as a judge? Because he seemed genuinely just so angered by the trickery, the lying, the regular attempts to hoodwink, the media being so implicit in it, seeing people in the media that were even attempting to intimidate jurors throughout this trial.
Yeah, one media organization tried to film jurors, but I believe Judge Schroeder was very fair, and he was the judge I wanted for that trial because I knew he would give me a fair trial and let the evidence be presented as the evidence.
Absolutely.
Not let the jury be tainted.
And what does it say that we have to hope for a fair judge in these cases? That, you know, what does that really say about the system that we have to hope that a judge will just do their job, right? Mm-hmm. Just actually examine the facts and you know, allow things to happen the correct way in the courtroom and be conducted the right way, because we haven't always seen that. What does it say that we're in this space? What is your opinion on our system, our federal system, the FBI? I mean, there was just so much corruption in this case. It must have colored your opinion about really the nation.
That's a good question. I look at things a little different now. Like, I believe there needs to be people held accountable, like prosecutors that overreach. I believe they need to be held responsible, and I believe there needs to be justice on the other side also. Not just justice was getting a not guilty verdict, but that's not complete. I think other people need to be held responsible for their actions also.
Yeah. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with that more. And I want to ask you, because I saw that you had filed something attempting to get, I didn't even know if they were still holding it, but your AR-15 back, they've held it for a very long time. You're trying to get it back. What is the reason that you want it back?
I want to make sure that the gun is destroyed, and I want it destroyed. That's why we filed that motion to have it destroyed.
Wow, interesting. So what makes you want the gun to be destroyed? It's become sort of symbolic in a way, you know what I mean? Of like us finally winning on something, on facts and reason winning on, you know, the Second Amendment, what the Second Amendment means to this country. Do you want to destroy it because it's represented this, you know, traumatic period of your life?
It was something that I used to defend myself, and it was a very traumatic night. And I don't think it's something that needs to be celebrated. So I think the best place for it is to get destroyed.
Wow, how interesting. Wow. So tell me, how does one move forward from this? You know, what is on the horizon for you other than being enrolled at ASU? You know, what's new for you? What are you hoping?
Well, I've started pilot classes, so I'm working on becoming a pilot, a private pilot. I logged my first flight hours, and I absolutely love it.
Really?
And I've been snowboarding a lot and just been doing stuff that's fun and living my life.
Yeah, and you've had an amazing response. I mean, with evil also comes a lot of goodness. You've been speaking and making, you know, some appearances, which people have been really celebrating. You know, nobody, I guess, wants to become a symbol of anything on a large scale, especially at your age. But, you know, I hope that your takeaway is that God doesn't let anything happen by accident. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you were meant to be in that place at the right time and a part of this insanity that is happening within our country. But hopefully these are clarifying moments in our country for a lot of people to really see sort of the mechanisms of corruption that I think need to be exposed.
Mm-hmm. And God has been with me from the beginning. My connection with God has grown way stronger. I pray to him every day, and he's helped me through so much, and he's helped open the doors and guide me in the right direction, and he helped the jury and guiding them in the right direction to make sure justice was done.
Right. I think that is a beautiful way to end the segment. It's just a reminder that even the bad stuff that happens to people, there's always a greater design. There's something, a lesson that needs to be learned, and it sometimes is really just God putting you on the journey that you were meant to be in. Mm-hmm. And please, may that journey include a lot of celebrities, athletes, sports stars like LeBron James being sued for defamation. Thank you, Kyle. Thanks for joining me on this segment of Candace. If you liked this podcast, be sure to subscribe and leave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. To watch or listen to the full show, become a member at dailywire.com/subscribe.
Introducing 2 new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.